Yeah, we can try that. How do you do it?
Hello.
Hi, this is Lieutenant Commander Vasquez calling from D-17 on behalf of Mr. Robinson, who's out. So I was going to...
Hello, Mr. Vasquez. This is Dwan from the Last Guard Policy Commission. Thank you for calling in. I'm just here to help the Executive Director take notes.
Okay. Am I the first one to dial in?
I believe we may be the first, too.
Okay, I wasn't sure if this this thing was still going on, so... Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Bob.
This is Chris. I'm on the line.
Stephen Trimble in Anchorage as well.
Rob Earl in Anchorage.
So, Rob, why don't you just start taking down names as they come on, and then I'll have you just sort of read off a roll call once I'm ready to go.
Sounds good.
Stand by for a while here to others come on.
Alan Osterman.
Hi, this is Nakush. Is Representative Heron on the line?
Yes. Rob's going to just take names down as we go. Wait a couple more minutes, and then we'll get started.
Dwan here.
Hello.
Hello.
Just identify yourself, please.
That's Lawson Brigham, UAF.
Okay, Lawson. We're going to – Rob's just taking down names. We'll do a roll call after a few minutes so everybody knows who's on, and then we'll get started.
This is Lisa Peckage. I just got dialed into.
This is Jesse Logan from Senator McGuire's office.
Stephanie Moreland.
Hi, this is from D-17. This is Lieutenant Commander Miguel Vasquez. I'm in for Mr. Robinson to maintain continuity on this, so I'll be listening in. Thank you.
All right, thanks. So I got 103 here. At 105, I'll have Rob read off who's joined us, and then we'll get started.
This is Hannah McCarty and Bryce in Representative Cretula's office, and Tim Clark in Bryce Edgman's office.
Hey, everyone. This is Bob Heron. It's 105. I'll have Rob call out all who is that he's heard that is online, and if your name is not called out, then just let us know you're on board. Go ahead, Rob.
Thank you. So far, we have Representative Alan Osterman, Representative Bob Heron, myself, Rob Earl, staff to Representative Heron, Jesse Logan, staff to co-chair Lisa McGuire, APC staff Dawn Tran and Executive Director Nakush Carlo, from Representative Cotula's office, Hannah McCarty, from Representative Edgman's office, Tim Clark, from the Coast Guard, Lieutenant Commander McGill Vasquez, filling in for Jamie Robinson. I hope I got the name right. Christine Hess, calling in for Reggie Jewell. Stephen Trimble, Lawson Brigham, Lisa Pekich, and Stephanie Morland from the Governor's Office.
And Rob, this is Margaret Dowling calling from Senator Giesel's office.
This is Rex Shattuck calling from Representative Newman's office, and he'll be joining us shortly.
And this is Katrina Matheny with Senator Stevens' office. Oops, sorry. Hello?
And this is Sandy in Senator Hoffman's office.
I got Rex Shattuck from Representative Newman's office, Christina Matheny from Stevens' office, Chris Laddick, Sandy Bird from Senator Hoffman's office, and Nils Andreessen from Institute of the North.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
Is it my understanding then from the roll call that there are two legislators on this call out of the, 10 legislators are supposed to be involved in this process?
I believe that's correct. Senator McGuire has a family illness she's dealing with, and so she will not join us today. But her staff is taking notes. But you're correct. 2 out of 10.
I think that should very well be noted, and I think there should be some work put into getting some of the people, legislators who are not interested in actually serving on this committee, to step down and let people step in that are interested.
Mark Newman is supposed to join us. Senator Giesel is on a flight at the moment, and I believe Stevens, Hoffman are on travel status in Europe. And I'll have both Senator McGuire's staff and my staff contact the appropriate offices to see what the today's status was on their individual bosses. Okay, let's get going. There's, of course, been a lot of communication to each commissioner, and I hope you have that in front of us. And to begin with the agenda is of the Brendan and crew has responded to our correspondence coming out of the Unalaska meeting, and so we got that. But I think that at this time I'm going to call on the Cush to do an overview of the implementation plan, where we align, where our gaps are, and considering the gaps in the national plan. And then after that, we'll go into open conversation to both Nikush and to ourselves about where we go from here. It's the intent that we try to stick to the agenda of approximately an hour. So probably we may go a little past 2 o'clock, but of course it could go even farther than that. But Nikush, could you please begin your presentation?
Representative Heron, this is Representative Newman here.
Glad to see you join us there, Mark. We're going to get started with the overview of the implementation plan for the next 10-15 minutes by Nikush.
Thank you, Representative Heron, and thanks everyone for calling in today. I really appreciate you taking the time to join the discussion. So as you have all heard in previous presentations, namely by Brendan and Unalaska, the National Strategy for the Arctic Region has three lines of effort. It focuses on U.S. security interests, specifically national security, responsible stewardship, protecting the environment, scientific research, and integrated management framework, and also international collaboration. I think it's important to keep in mind that hundreds of federal employees have worked on developing the national strategy, on developing the integrated Arctic management report, on the Interagency Arctic Research Policy Commission five-year plan for the Arctic, and other Arctic policy documents. And as a result, I think the NSAR, the National Strategy for the Arctic, is broader. It covers a lot of topics, and it is quite specific. So I think it's important to note that, you know, this work, and yet maintain focus on, you know, our task, the task that we have at hand, which is to develop Alaska's Arctic policy. So I'm going to briefly go over some areas where our documents align, and then also some of the gaps. Jesse Logan in Senator McGuire's office prepared the alignments and gaps analysis that I sent out last night, and I'll thank him for that. It's a very useful overview that I think will help guide our discussion today. So some areas where our documents align. We've talked a lot about economic energy, system development, doing this in a sustainable manner, and that also respects the environment and the interests and cultures of Indigenous people. So we align on that point. Also, conservation of Arctic ecosystems, protection of Arctic environments, and conservation of natural resources. These are also areas where we our interests align. And then things like improved ice-capable shipping ships and law of the sea, ratification of law of the sea. And there are a lot of specifics within the analysis that Jesse did. If we look at gaps in our State of the Arctic document, we don't spend too much time on the specifics of planning and infrastructure, and this is something that's covered quite heavily in the National Security for the Arctic Region document. They've also touched on areas that they have put reports together on, like integrated Arctic management, so managing human activities in the Arctic to support economic development, environmental protection, and cultural values. We don't actually mention that in our document, but we do cover in the governance section sort of multiple agencies and overlap in jurisdiction that would feed into an integrated Arctic management situation. They've also, the NSAR has also touched on ecosystem-based management. This is another one of their major efforts, and that includes increased collaboration between science research and traditional knowledge. This is something that could be integrated into our document in the maritime traffic and Coast Guard operations. They've also talked about distributed biological observing in the Pacific Arctic. Again, something that could be included in our document in fisheries and Indigenous issues. The National Strategy also talks about Arctic community sustainability, assessing strengths and vulnerabilities in Arctic communities facing impacts of climate change. We don't specifically address this in our document, but it is kind of implied in the science and research section, as well as human health in the Arctic, where, again, we don't specifically address this, but the National Security Implementation Plan does, and that's mainly coming from the IARPIC five-year plan for research in the Arctic, where they have a specific on that. So if we, the next topic is considering the gaps in the National Strategy Implementation Plan. And I'm not going to talk about all of them, but I just wanted to mention a few. One is the underlying energy poverty of most remote Arctic communities. And this will need to be considered further as infrastructure is built up and, you know, as we get more things going in remote areas, this will be quite a cost to the federal government. Another gap in the National Arctic Strategy Implementation Plan is the extent to which they cover protection of the environment or conservation of natural resources. This is addressed in the context of oil spill response and prevention, but doesn't go beyond sort of that topic area. And mapping is another area that is mentioned, but is something that the state of Alaska is definitely working on. So the NSAR mentions mapping in terms of cryosphere changes, so in terrestrial ecosystems, and also charting the Arctic Ocean, but in terms of more specific, like high-res maps for rivers and streams, you know, I think the state of Alaska is working on that, and that is not mentioned in their document. So that's my very short review of some areas where we align between the two documents, some of the gaps in our document, and some of the things that are missing from their document. So I'll turn it back over to Co-Chair Heron. Is anybody there?
I'm here.
Rep Newman, I'm here, but I don't know where Bob's at.
I'm Margaret Dowling here for Senator Diesel.
Yeah, okay. Nikush, to everyone, is Nikush has, of course, just hit the highlights, and so her notes are going to be far more detailed, and so I'll ask her to provide those to you. Is, you know, we're showing, identifying, comparing the federal document, where they align and where we have gaps and they have gaps, and so she'll send that along to everyone. And what I'd like you to do is to take a look at what you think is important for your individual teams, and so that when we come back, when we meet again in Fairbanks, we can have this conversation and you can make recommendations, as well as anybody can make recommendations on where we think the gaps are and what we need to fill and what we choose not to fill and how we respond to our federal partners on, for example, where we think they have gaps in their strategies. But what I'd like to do is open it up to everyone if they have questions to Nikush about this gap analysis.
Nikush, Representative Newman here. Was there any one or two particular things that seemed to stand out or cause you to have red flags in what you're looking at?
Well, and I think, Jesse, if you want to chime in here at any point, please do so. So if you're thinking about the gaps, energy poverty in remote communities, I think is important that they haven't addressed that.
And when you say energy poverty, it's just trying to deal with the high cost of energy.
Right.
Okay.
I think in general, their document, like I said, their document is much more specific and broader than our document.
Okay, but yeah, my question was, you know, you spent a considerable amount of time going over it. You know, was there a couple items, you know, that maybe just glaringly stood out in energy poverty or the high cost of energy in rural Alaska is probably the major one that
Yeah, I mean, I also think that thinking about Arctic community sustainability is important. We haven't addressed human health at all in the document, and I know that's very broad and often applies to all of Alaska, but there are, but it's an important issue, especially mental health, suicide, that is specific to the Arctic.
And Representative Heron?
Go ahead, yeah, please.
Yeah, Representative Newman here. Nakush, I, along with Representative Osterman, oversee the health and social services budget, and a lot of those issues are things that we're dealing with at the state. It, Nakush, if you'd like to maybe have a separate call with myself and my staff, Kathy Tilton, that work on that, maybe we can maybe fill in some of that gap.
Okay, thank you. I'll follow up with you after.
Because those are things that it's specifically that we spent a considerable amount of time on, and that I've got some data and some research and where we can, you know, plant out exactly where the state's at on that right now.
Okay, sounds good.
So, okay. Alan, did you have any comments on this section of the agenda?
Just a broad question, and that is, Nakush, do you feel that the information that is in the gaps is more strategy type stuff that we have not discussed because we spent all this time just looking at a broad database information?
Well, I think that the gaps in our document are fairly targeted at items that the federal government has put a lot of time into, like the integrated Arctic management. DBO, distributed biological observing, is again one of the IARPIC five-year research plan things. So those are efforts that the federal government has been engaged in. And I think it'd be important for us to acknowledge that they, you know, those efforts are ongoing and that they contribute to, like, provide a context for what we're doing. I don't necessarily think that we need to, you know, detail for detail match within the federal plan.
This is Tim Clark in Rep. Edgman's office. I'm a little confused by the reasoning behind a direct comparison between what is essentially a fairly specific implementation plan and what we have so far, which is a broader, more general background document. Doesn't it make more sense to make a side-by-side comparison once we have recommendations and more specifics?
Well, Tim, this is Bob. Is that I think we have to do it simultaneously. I mean we have to deliver a preliminary report to the legislature in very short order. And these guys, in their implementation plan, is basically they're not going to wait for us. They, of course, now that the parts of the federal government shut down, maybe they'll inherently have to slow down. But they plan on having their plan done no later than December. And so I don't know if we can wait. We're going to build our own document regardless of what they do. And to have this information and to tease out more of their drafts is incumbent on us to do that, because the more of a broad policy presentation to the legislature that does show, or at least we comment on what the feds are up to, it's a better document for us. So I understand what you're saying, but I think we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to do both. We're going to have to build our own, plus we're going to have to compare ourselves to what our federal partners are going to do, are doing. And Brendan made it very clear, you weren't in on Alaska, you might have been listening in, but Brendan made it very clear that him and Bolton and Eric Cooper are our allies, but there's many other people in the White House implementation team that could care less what the Alaska is doing. And so I guess we just got to take advantage of all the information we can. So before we move on to the shaping part of this so we can keep the meeting going long, I'd maybe just ask Lawson to chime in here, because I was looking and listening to Nakush. Is this protection of the environment outside of oil spill response, shouldn't we bring it to their attention that they got to do more than just oil spill response and prevention? I'm not saying we should do tit for tat, but I mean, shouldn't we emphasize that? Because that's the things that you have been shouting at from the rooftops about.
Yeah, I mean, this Lawson, I actually surprised that one of their lines of effort isn't focused on protecting Arctic people and the environment, maybe conserving resources also, but they put it under this broad terminology of responsible stewardship. I mean, the Polar Code is mentioned in both documents, and that's part of protecting. I mean, the number one, you know, it's marine safety and environmental protection is why we want to have a Polar Code. But there are lots of other devices and measures, like voluntary measures, routing measures in the Bering Strait, better communication systems to the pilot house of ships, communicating between indigenous hunters and ships, a whole host of measures and methodologies. Yeah, I do believe they're just focusing on oil spill response and prevention. Really, they're focusing even narrower on the new agreement by the Arctic states on this topic. Yeah, I think the topic is a lot broader. We've covered in our document in a number of different places. I think we've talked about protecting the environment and protecting coastal communities in a more holistic way. So maybe that's one point we could make to them. Just that you know, oil spills is one thing, but creating a framework, policy framework, and a strategy using many different tools to protect the environment is an important thing. Now, I know that there's probably some concern about other measures, like particularly sensitive sea area, IMO measures, special areas under MARPOL. But we have to acknowledge that clearly down the road, things like dumping garbage, wastewater, you name it, into the Bering Sea is not a great thing. But that all will happen under IMO, probably on annexes that deal with special areas. So there's a whole range of measures that they haven't even talked about. They do talk about, of course, IMO being the appropriate international organization that the United States works with. So it is a good topic area. Maybe we should look to shore up our document a bit in this area and point out what we have covered and what they have not.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point in that last sentence is that I think that the commission needs to build its own document, make sure that we have a case for the things that we think is important, and not really chide the federal partners what they're lacking, but tell them where our strengths are, which point out to where theirs are not. So I guess it's a delicate conversation. But I think before we move on to the shaping part of the agenda, is there anyone else that wishes to make comment on Nakush's analysis of both alignment and gaps?
This is Stephanie.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Go ahead, Steph.
Okay. I just wanted to make a couple comments on my initial overall impressions of the implementation plan materials that were shared. I understand that they're really preliminary, but I was surprised to see still how conceptual many of the slides are. They look in broad concept more to be, in some cases, a laundry list and not very strategic and have as much depth to an implementation plan as I was expecting. For example, they're still using a lot of words that are a lot of measuring progress that includes coordination and partnership, but there's not any clear structure that would guide coordination or identify and build partnerships. There's no reference to existing strong state-federal partnerships where we do have common objectives. So there's not very much on the how-to. It still is really just principles that are more aligned, I think, with the strategy than implementation actions. And then there's two concepts I just wanted to bring your attention to. Ecosystem-based management is not further defined here in the implementation plan materials, and there's really not a lot of clarity on how integrated Arctic management elements, what they mean for governance. There's a line in the draft implementation plan materials that specifically calls for an integrated Arctic management governance framework, and there's really not a common understanding of what integrated Arctic management is yet. And so to dedicate only a single slide to integrated Arctic management and an implementation plan is a bit of a concern to me. I just wanted to bring those points to your attention.
Okay. Nikush, please note that. And so that in our initial teleconference with Brendan and Baldwin and Cooper is that we bring that up, and so that maybe they can have their conversations. So in their next draft, which we're going to which we will ask for, is maybe those things can be improved upon.
I've noted that. Thanks.
So, Alan, you have a comment?
My question in reference to reviewing the gap analysis that you've done and, of course, reading and understanding the implementation plan, what are you expecting for us to bring to you in Fairbanks, and what do you expect then to come out of the meeting in Fairbanks if you're going to try to meet any kind of a deadline that Brendan has set for the end of October?
Well, I think that in the rest of this teleconference, maybe we can ask some of those questions in general and talk it through. But, to answer your question is Nikush can send out her more detailed gap analysis, alignment analysis, and I think the teams need to take a look at what they've built so far and see what makes sense. I mean, some of the stuff probably shouldn't be a high priority, and maybe one or two should be, and the team should maybe have their own conversations about what should be maybe added to their presentation. I guess that's what I'm asking the teams to do. Is she's going to send you a far more detailed analysis, and then and where we think. But at the same time, I think the teams need to look at the latest draft from the feds and see how we can add to our document. And not worry too much about how we can tell them what's wrong with theirs. We just need to take, again, I'm repeating myself, is we need to take as much information from them and use it to our advantage.
Okay.
Anyone else out there that would like to comment before we move on?
Representative Heron, this is Stephen Trimble. I have a few comments from the resource team that Lisa Pekich can also add to. I think overall it would be very beneficial for the state's efforts to push for the inclusion of state of Alaska agencies and efforts in the primary and supporting department agency sections of this document that we're truly going to push and strive for and foster the offer an idea of integrated management, I think it would be very beneficial for both our and the federal government's efforts to acknowledge those integrated efforts and State of Alaska initiatives that are currently taking place. Specifically referencing resource development, they talk about oil and gas and methane hydrate specifically, but there's no mention of resource, mineral resources, precious metals, base metals, rare earth elements, minerals, both economic and precious, including coal, have no mention under non-renewable resources. I think it would be most beneficial to push for the inclusion of that language and addressment of those resource industries as well. Echoing Stephanie's comments about integrated Arctic management, specifically calling out the State of Alaska as a partner in integrated management, I think is very important. And we also shared some concerns with the ambiguity around ecosystem-based management and the specific question of for the State of Alaska that we should think about internally is, does this potentially open things up for the possible reclassification of lands? That's something I think we should most definitely look at. To get very specific, there was a comment about TAPS in the resource development slide that referenced pipeline integrity. I'd like to see clarification whether that is referencing engineering integrity or throughput integrity. If it's referencing engineering integrity, that seemed like a very odd and pointed reference. Lisa, did you have anything else to add from our perspective?
No, I think you captured it all. I mean, I think in general, just looking at some of the things that they have here and things that the state is doing or has a good handle on, like TAPS throughput or even the development of renewable energy, where we've got quite an extensive program through the Energy Authority on promoting renewable energy projects. Seems a little redundant for the feds to all of a sudden say these are priorities in this plan. So just to keep an eye out for those type of things so that all of a sudden they're not recreating efforts and doing stuff that we have a good handle on.
Yeah, and I think that your notes to Nikush will be reflected in her report to everyone else. But, you know, I did also think it was odd that in the national plan there's no mention of offshore or extended continental shelf exploration. And so, again, I don't think it's really, I mean, in teleconferences we can share these concerns, but I just don't want to get in this tit-for-tat debate with them about what they don't have. Again, I think we just need to take as much information to make sure that we have the strongest document. So appreciate that, Stephen and Lisa. I think just for the amount of time we got left here, let's why don't we just move on, and I'll basically open it up. You know, we're going to have these conversations with them, and we're going to press them. I mean, you know, we're going to. I know that Brendan and Eric and Bolton want to have these conversations. So, I guess the first question is, how much do we want to stress the common themes between our documents? I mean, I guess that's just an open question to anybody. Do we want to stress the synergies? Maybe I'll start with Stephanie. Your thoughts on they're building theirs. We got to build ours. What do you think we should? Should we stress the synergies?
I think it's productive to stress them, but then it would also be good to acknowledge that they're common objectives and we're both working towards them. And so I have a little bit of a concern about them, and this was mentioned by Stephen too, that when they look at primary and supporting departments and agencies, it seems difficult for that picture to be complete without also noting the work that Alaska is doing.
Yeah, and you made that very clear when you testified in D.C. And so I appreciate that is, you know, I guess that to Nakush is in having these conversations, I know you have phone conversations with Brendan especially, is that I think that it's important that you tell him that we have to have these conversations about the topic that Stephanie's talking about. We have these nice visions from our federal partners, but they keep saying that we're going to work with the subnational. But okay, where is this process or these processes that we can examine?
Mm-hmm. This is Alan.
Yes.
Of course, in reading Brendan's letter, he made a very pointed comment that this is a living, breathing document that they're putting together, and with anticipation that there will be updates, changes that will go to it based upon, I think, what the state's going to put together.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm reading between the lines there, but that's what I read on it.
Well, should the national piece should we, I guess I'm, this is sort of an open question to you, Stephanie, should this be in our governance section, is where we're saying, okay, these are the processes between the national and the subnational. Should that be in our governance section?
Well, I think it is a little bit, at least touching on how we interact with and provide input to, but this partnership term is something that is appearing more and more, and I think it needs greater definition. We've pointed out to the federal government that we make an effort to coordinate between state agencies in providing input to them, and we'd like to see a little bit more structure on their side for interagency communication and coordination. So that we're not having to reach out to each individual. I mean, that's one example of a potential recommendation or something to pursue if the commission was interested. But just an overarching comment, the commission has a big job. And I think in the last meeting in Alaska, we talked about the fact that we need to prioritize issues and recommendations that would have a focus on state action. And then in addition, there's this interaction with the federal process and recommendations to the federal government. It would be, I'm interested in hearing a little bit of discussion on how much we want to focus on telling the federal government what to do. I like your question of maybe in governance, speaking more to how state and federal interact and maybe fleshing out that structure since they haven't. That seems to be more inward looking and in line with, I think, the priorities of the commission.
Yeah, and that's why I brought it up is, you know, again, we're building our document, and it's nice that we have something that we can look to what they're doing. But I'm wondering, should in the governance section, should we have a template that says this is how we deal with it, and there is a seat at the table for our federal partners, and we show it to them and say, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to deal with policy questions within the state. And we've pre-assigned a seat for you. I mean, I don't think we should ask them to tell us how they want to interact with us. Should we tell them how we want them to interact with us? That's my question.
Bob,
yeah.
Really good comment. I think wherever there's uncertainty, there's opportunity for us to lend definition. So I think that is a great suggestion.
Okay. Anyone else? I got a list of questions here I wanted to ask, but anyone else on this particular piece?
Hey, this is Nils, I just wanted to follow up on what Stephanie had said and just reiterate from my perspective, I think the, you know, the NSAR implementation plan that that process should be completely separate from the Commission's work to develop an Alaska Arctic policy, and that the greatest message we can send is to do our work. We have a lot in front of us, including finishing up a lot of background sections, and certainly the implementation plan language helps us reflect on what we have or don't, and helps us in thinking about future, our next step in terms of recommendations. But I think the less, right, it's just not our role to get too involved in this. So I think we should just keep going with the work that we're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you, Nils. But this, at the same time, is to make our product better, we have to recognize that there is a federal counterpart that's out there doing the same thing, regardless of what we do. So I just want to take advantage of much information as we can. And so, should the teams take time to fill in the gaps? Yeah, well, they need to think that through. And so, again, without worrying too much about where their gaps are, we have to worry about where we think are the important gaps is what I'm trying to communicate here. So,
I think we shouldn't have something in the governance section about the NSAR implementation plan or that for an Alaska Arctic policy, that doesn't seem to make sense at this point. But we should recognize that internally, we want to make sure that we're that we continue with our communication.
But to follow that though is should the governance section have a process where we do have a template that says, okay, this is how we are going to have partnerships with our national government, and they're welcome to be a part of it. I just don't want to wait for them to tell us how this process that Stephanie has shared her concern about is. I think that we should have a process that they're at the table and they can choose to come or choose not to come, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. So that should come out in the recommendations, right?
Right. And yeah. Within the governance, yeah.
Sure.
So, anyone else out there?
Well, Bob, I think you just need to write it out and bring it to Fairbanks and let's approve it.
Yeah. Well, again, I think that the detailed notes that Nikush has that she just hit the highlights on is something for everyone to read. So I guess, we're at about 15 minutes left. It's good that we have this conversation. We're having this conversation with the NSAR team. Now, we want continued communication, but I don't think the commission has the time, or we don't need to. I don't think we need a formal response to each draft. And I just put that out there. I'm sensing that's what the commission is not worried about. We want as many of these drafts as they generate as we can get, but we don't need to. The commission doesn't need to respond formally to them.
Well, this is Alan. I maybe disagree a little bit because I think you want to keep that door broad open as you can, and some type of a formal response, regardless of what the response is, in reference to, thank you, and we're taking everything in, and we're working on our own, and here's a couple of small suggestions or something like that, till we get to the point where they get to a final and maybe we are in or out.
No, I agree. I mean, but I meant as a full commission, a formal response to each, where we have to go to a meeting, we have to flesh it out, and then we'll respond to them. No, these courtesy and these lines of communication, we want to be as wide open as possible, and I agree with you on that. So I think that, this draft, again, it's good information. It seems we know where they're going or where they're not going, and just to make sure that we know what we're doing, either that it emphasizes what we're doing right, I believe.
Representative Heron, this is Lawson Brigham again.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think in the next thing that we might send back to them if we send them a note of thanks that we might specifically mention to the items that Stephanie talked about that we really don't necessarily have a good handle on ecosystems-based management and what the federal government means exactly by integrated Arctic management and how the state might play. I mean, I think those are two pretty important topics that could be mentioned either in a conversation with them by you or in a Kush or in the next correspondence back to them formally. I'd recommend at least those two items be addressed, that we don't understand. There isn't clarity in those particular in their strategy. There's no clarity to that, and we might be a little concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, very very good, and so noted. I'll ask Nikush to make sure that that's emphasized, because you know you and I and all the rest of the commission, we've heard Stephanie comment on this part of her frustration ad nauseum about, you know, they talk a good game, but they don't walk a good game. And so I think, you know, we just need to keep bringing that up and short of demanding that they at least have a map that shows us how we're going to be partners in this whole deal.
Are we going to ask them whether they have specific goals and objectives and specific things you want to do?
You know, we're going to have a teleconference with them. We've asked to do it before the Fairbanks meeting and then have the second teleconference. We haven't actually sent out the request yet, but we will. Is that we should ask that point blank in the mid-October teleconference, and then ask them to give us a response at the 1st of November teleconference, I believe.
Well, I think the question needs to be asked, because it would help us help define where we any kind of response we want to have if we have a little more. And everything that I've seen so far coming out of the federal government has been more broad brush and more on principle rather than, like Stephanie said, than it is on anything. And how do you decide what the real policy is going to be unless there's specific stuff in it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what we would do in the teleconference is we would press them for an answer, at least from Brendan, David Balton, and Eric Cooper. We would press them for an answer so that when the full commission meets in Fairbanks, we can relay that message to them, because what comes out of Fairbanks, whether it's the group or whether it's an individual, and everybody thinks it's a good question that we should ask at the November teleconference, that's what I'm looking for, because we're going to build on these conversations. Is conversation three is going to be much more detailed, hopefully, than conversations one and two, based upon commission input.
And Bob, Representative Newman here, and I've been trying to picture in my mind how we're going to put together the wildlife end of the discussion that you've asked me to work on. And working with the federal government, I think some of the issues, and going back to our guiding principles that talk about making sure we recognize existing cultures and communities, and quite frankly how important the subsistence type lifestyles are in the Arctic and will be in the future, and how they're all going to be combined, is how we're going to continue to deal with the policies such as the Marine Mammal Protection Act or Migratory Bird Act and those types of federal overreaching policies into the state government, and how we're going to have better actions or interactions between the two agencies, between the two governments.
Oh, I mean, two cases in point. What Dan Ash has just recently done here in the last couple of days, and what the Department of Interior is doing on Eisenbeck. Those are just two examples out of hundreds of them. So, yes, obviously.
This is Stephanie. CACFA and other groups have really been ramping up their thinking on what kind of state federal coordination body might be appropriate in order to get a little bit more complementary work between the two or from the federal government and or land use managers. These issues are pretty controversial and it's a lot to take on. If the suggestion for partnering was to be recommended in the governance section, I think it would take some targeted research and outreach to get caught up with some of the federal overreach discussions that have occurred in CACFA and in other places. But it's a void, and it's there's tension there, and we've been commenting, particularly with respect to wildlife abundance, active management for wildlife on federal lands, that we have some real barriers there in policy on the federal side to be able to be effective.
Yeah, and Representative Newman here again, and those are because there's such a void there, the interaction between the state and the federal government, somewhat quite controversial at most times, I think, on those issues. And there's real conflicts there. And here we got the people of Alaska get caught in the middle of it, and that's what we're trying to, you know, I think what we need to do in this document is ask for clarification of what, how are we going to move forward on these issues? It's a huge issue.
Talking about governance, this is Rex in Representative Newman's office. One of the things this process has already provided us is some communication with federal agencies and positive in some ways. Under governance, one of the things we discovered in discussions with NOAA and for that matter with the U.S. Corps of Engineers was the short-sightedness sometimes in terms of what state might be working and what the federal government might be looking at. And I offer as an example, NOAA themselves said to us in a meeting that they've been trying to discover a better way of communicating with the state of Alaska on what we see our needs and what they see as shortfalls for traffic and such. Likewise, the Corps of Engineers and our discussions with them, we found that although the state has been having discussions about resource development in terms of offshore and even development of pipelines, they expressed to us they were short-sighted really in looking at ports and anchorages and such along the north coast. So I think there's some positive that's already come with that. With that, I'd like to really quick transition over and ask the question. I noticed on the document that was sent out today, the section on planning and infrastructure really has nothing there, and yet we submitted a document some time back. So perhaps it's in following Nakusha's comments that there were some gaps there. I've sort of wondered why that wasn't included in this particular document, or if it was more complex and needed a little bit more review by her before it came out.
Hi, Rex. Are you talking about the State of the Arctic draft?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, the great slide, the sort of mini slide that you have in there, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. That I just grabbed the one from Unalaska, and I think your infrastructure section came after that and was separate, and so I apologize it wasn't included. I didn't even realize it wasn't in there.
No problem. Just wondering.
Okay.
Anyone else before I'm going to ask, share with you another concern that the legislators have, but is any else?
Representative Heron, it's Lawson Brigham again. I just had one question about Fairbanks. I wondered, is there a particular session that we would like to have the folks in the White House listen in on? I mean, obviously don't want to have them listen in on the whole thing, but I wonder if it would be useful, at least tactically, to have them listen in on one of our discussions at, you know, for an hour or something on, I don't know. It's just something I throw out there so we could throw them a bone to say they had an opportunity to participate or at least listen in on maybe a selected session.
You know, that's a good idea. And the thing about it is, it could probably be similar to what we did in Alaska. Is basically we put we let them have the mic so we can ask them questions.
Sure.
Yeah, that I'll work with staff that we invite them for that opportunity. But you're right. It would be strategic to get them during the meeting at the most appropriate time.
Good.
Anyone
this
else?
It's Alan. Bob, at the Fairbanks meeting, are we going to have that conversation in reference to priorities on where you want the commission to get into next? I mean, we had that conversation in Alaska, but where are we at there?
Yeah, yes, that sort of is sort of a preview of what I'd like to talk about as the final item on the agenda. But yes, yes, sir. I think that's a good segue, is that this is, of course, 26 Alaskans. A good group of people are trying to figure out what makes sense to working with federal partners and working with the Parnell administration as a legislature. Is I think that what the teams and as individual commissioners need to think about between now and Fairbanks and Anchorage is, what should legislators do? There's 10 of us, 10 legislators on the commission. And so the 10 legislators are going to have to go talk to the other 50 about what the preliminary report says. But more specific to that is, what things should we do in the session 2014 that helps us in interim 2014 for our final report in 2015. So I think what I'm asking teams and individual commissioners to think about projects or think about legislative actions that the legislature can do to enhance the commission's work over the next 15 months. And so that's what I'm posing to everyone. Individual legislators have had conversations about this has been a good process, but when we go back down to Juneau, we're going to have to twist some arms and get some things done that make sense for the commission. Okay, I think that we're running past 2 o'clock. Any final comments from anyone? Alan?
I know. I think you're we're at least we're moving forward here. I'm a lot more interested in what kind of priorities we set so that we can know where we're going. I'm still a little confused over the more defined direction, I guess, is what I'm looking for. But
yeah. It's, we got to have that conversation. Absolutely. Mark Newman.
You know, look, we've got our infrastructure development piece pretty much done. We've had a lot of outreach between the communities, agencies within the federal government, such as NOAA again and USGS and a few of those others. I think and then I'll have discussions with Jeff Haskett and his crew over at U.S. Fish and Wildlife on what they see some of those issues. I've already talked to Craig Fleener, at the Department of Fish and Game, who does a lot of coordination with that, Doug Vincent Lang, on wildlife management issues and where we're going to see in the future. Also this morning I did talk to Representative Nagiak, obviously as a legislator out of Barrow, and an avid outdoorsman hunter and stuff, to maybe set up a meeting with himself and a few of the members of the Whaling Commission on some of the wildlife issues there that they see. So we're going to try and I'll be gathering that information and then condensing that down into a packet to get to Nakush again for inclusion on the wildlife end of it.
I guess just for next steps, is the purpose of the sharing of ideas here just to feed the teleconference to the Federal Arctic leads at the middle of the month?
Yeah, basically it's sort of a see where we're at right now, any concerns that we have for the Fairbanks meeting, but yes, to help us have a conversation at the mid-October teleconference.
Okay. No, I don't have any wrap-up comments today. We're still working on our thoughts to the draft implementation plan, and I'll certainly share anything that comes out as final from our office.
Okay, sounds good. Anyone else? Final comments?
Yeah. Bob, this is Chris in Unalaska, and I agree with telling the federal government, you know, here's what we're doing as opposed to commenting on what they're doing. As in his letter from Brendan Kelly, he states that they may take our comments into consideration, so it doesn't mean they're going to, and we should focus on what our policy is and continue to engage with them, because that was the major point, is just trying to get these folks to engage with us. So we've accomplished that. It's in baby steps at this point, but we need to just focus on that policy and getting that done and out, and yes, use it, any information we get from them to strengthen our document, but I like the idea of focusing on strengthening our document as opposed to just responding to what the federal government is doing, because they may or may not take it into consideration. And I also agree with giving them a template about what, how this interagency or how we're going to work together. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, this is Rex from Representative Newman's office. At this point, I guess my concern or question as a staff to one of the teams would be, what is our expectation at this particular point? What should we be expecting or doing at this particular point in time with those reports? If Nakush needs some additional tweaking or work on them, are we in a standby mode at this particular point in time, waiting for further direction in terms of the formatting? What would you give us as guidance in terms of what your expectations are?
Well, let me ask Nakush to jump in on that, and then, of course, we don't have the Liesl here, but I can comment after Nakush. Go ahead, Nakush.
No, thanks, Bob. That's a good question, Rex. And some of the teams have turned in background documents, including the planning infrastructure section. I think it would be helpful if you kind of went through your section and kind of highlighted areas that you may want to make changes in based upon the information that we have from the National Strategy for the Arctic Region. But I would hold off on actually going in and adjusting text yet, because I'm in the process of integrating the background sections. So I will try to work on that in the next week and get a full updated draft back to everyone, so you can kind of look at it through this lens of having the extra information from the National Strategy for the Arctic Region. You know, once we have that lens of information, you can kind of apply that back to the background document.
Thank you for that guidance. And just one note on that. I pulled up today the 2010 version and then the 2013 specifically for the Arctic, and was looking through those to try and get a grasp of what they're producing. Is that something you would recommend to continue with?
And to what are you referencing? You pulled up what from 2010?
The 2010 national security document, and then the 2013 specifically addressing more the Arctic policy.
The 2010 one. I'd have to go back and look and see. Can you send me what the 2010 document is?
I'll send you that.
Okay, great. I'll talk with you on that.
Thanks for your help, ma'am.
Okay, and Rex, just to follow up, I think that it probably helpful that we'll ask the executive director to send out an email, basically in writing, outlining her what she would like the teams to do for the moment.
Cool beans. Thank you.
Okay, last call. Anyone else? All right. Thank you very much. We will send out when we have our mid-October teleconference with Brendan, Balton, and Cooper, we will send you a summary so you'll have that before the Fairbanks meeting, and then we'll look forward to all visiting at Fairbanks on the 22nd.
This is Nikusha. Just want to add that because of the government shutdown, we may have trouble scheduling a mid-October meeting, but we will work on it.
Okay, thanks everyone for the good conversation, and we'll look forward to seeing you in Fairbanks.
Thanks.
Thanks all.
Later, Bob.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.